Thank you. All lines are now bridged.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Health IT for the Care Continuum Task Force meeting. Today we'll be discussing some of the high-tech feedback from the last meeting on the final recommendations and the transmittal letter that the group is working on. With us today, we have Carolyn Peterson and Chris Lehman, the co-chairs for this task force. In addition to Steve Waldron, Chip Hart, and Susan Creasley. So I'll pass it along to Carolyn now to get us started.
Thanks, Cassandra. I just wanted to welcome everyone again to our meeting. I appreciate the willingness to change the time so that everyone could meet and we could hopefully work our way through the transmittal letter today, addressing the feedback from HITECH that is still outstanding, and perhaps agreeing on a final doc that Chris and I can sign and submit to HITECH. So with that, I will hand the mic to Chris.
Thank you, Carolyn. I appreciate, just like Carolyn said, your flexibility, because it's my fault that we're meeting so late. I can't meet currently in the morning because of the fact that I'm in the NICU. And there is a small chance that I might get called away. If that's the case, just continue without me. And I'll turn it over to our friends at ONC to get us started at the right place. Thank you.
Sure, this is Steph. If I could have sharing screen rights, I can go ahead and share my screen and we can dive right into the transmittal letter. Hopefully it will stand up. There it is. Okay. Hopefully everyone can see that. So we can go straight to the substantive material. So Sue, I think you made this comment on the previous document. Does this implementation consideration seem okay to you, or did you want anything changed here?
Okay, hang on a second. I had to make you bigger.
Sure.
Sorry,
maybe I can increase the size.
So I wanted to make sure that it says I'm okay. Limited liquid oral medications, right? We got to make sure that we're talking about liquid and oral, right? Because they're liquid eye medications that are not appropriate, right? So the wording should be liquid and oral.
Can I interject there? It should be enteral because it might be by
G2. Okay, enteral. Okay. And it should be liquid. And again, we want to make it, and I don't know where this is, if it's implied or I just don't. Once our hands touch this, it gets a life of its own, right? And it needs to be where appropriate, right? Because there are enteral medications where weight-based dosing is not appropriate. Like, you know, liquid Claritin is based on age ranges, not on weight ranges. So I don't know how we communicate that. I just don't want it to get lost.
Yeah. So that's easy to clarify by saying when the dosing is weight is determined by weight. So that's fairly easy to fix. But I have a question for you, Sue. I've been chewing on this because a vendor might want to go ahead and have dose calculations for all kinds of medications that might be in tablet form as well. And I don't want them to think that they shouldn't be doing this. How can we formulate this so that the requirement is limited to the liquid enteral medications that are dosed based on weight? That was for, I think, Stephanie, you're typing, right? Liquid enteral medication dosed based on weight. Dose with weight-based dosing. Liquid,
enteral.
Enteral.
I'm sorry, can you spell that for me?
E-N-T-E-R-A-L.
Is that right?
There's a T missing.
There's a T, as an enteral. E-N-T-E-R. E-N-T-E. There you go. The limited liquid enterol. You know, you got rid of a wrong E. Enterol. There
got
you go.
It. Well,
yeah, that's perfect. Medications that are dosed based on weight.
I just am afraid by the time this gets to somebody writing a testing requirement, I want to make sure that's clear, right?
Yes, but let me go back to my question. I don't want somebody who says, you know, I want to my EHR also to do dose recommendations if you want to dispense tablets.
So this should be a minimum. This should be a minimum standard.
The minimum standard includes liquid enteral medication that are dosed based on weight. Can we rephrase it that way?
Yes. And above the should, in front of the should be minimum standard includes.
No, the minimum standard is limited to the liquid enteral medication. Is limited to.
Is limited to.
Perfect.
The minimum standard, right? And that way, if you want to go beyond it, you're good. Are we copacetic there?
I like that so much better because I didn't want to discourage anybody from going beyond that.
Okay, great. And then we got this question during the last HITECH meeting. They asked, what is to be the standardized nomenclature? It's up to the task force if you guys want to expand on that or keep it broad as we have it.
Well, there currently is no standard. Isn't that correct? This is the ability to document guardians and others. And as far as I know, there is no standard terminology for that. So
there's some standard. There is. I don't think it's wholly complete though.
It's not robust enough.
Can you reference it to do you know what it is?
Well, there are two things. Number one, there is a whole, on the billing side of things, the relationship to the patient field exists, but HL7 has a table. I know, Sue, we looked this up back a long time ago in CCHIT days. I wish I could reference that at the top of my head, but there is an HL7 relationship table.
It's the relationship, and there's a subset that includes responsible parties.
Oh, that part I didn't know. So there it is.
Of the relationship code. I'll dig up that reference and put it in the chat box.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. Awesome.
Yep. Okay, so we can move on to the next one in the meantime.
Before we move on, we all agreed that is not as robust as it needs to be, but I think we should put documentation in it to start with that standard nomenclature, and then identify gaps and work to make the standard more robust or something in
exactly.
Your speech.
We want to point to what HL7 has and say that there's still gaps in there and it needs to be further developed. And that's what we're saying here.
So could it be encourage more robust nomenclature development toward a standard nomenclature for this content, right? Because you're wanting a standard, right? Because there's, if I remember right, because I don't remember it either off the top of my head, I was looking it up online real quick. There are also some other vocabularies in the UMLS that have some of these concepts as well, but I don't think there is a standard that we all say, oh, that's the one.
Okay, so are we okay with this?
Yeah, I am.
I think just the last TO would go.
Yeah.
Right?
It reminds me of a bad joke. So where y'all from? You know, the, I don't know if you've heard it, but I'm not going to go there today.
Okay. Okay. Well, if we want to move to the next one. So I think, Carolyn, I think this is your comment, if we want to refer to the USCDI work here.
Yeah, I just noted that because it was something that the HITACH brought up, and this maybe is a way to work in that perspective that we need to think about them without giving away something that we care passionately about that they don't agree with.
If it will make the larger group happy, I have no objections to it.
Okay. Well, we can have that added in then. In the meantime, so this is also a comment that we received from the last HITACH meeting. They weren't sure what is meant by free text, as in what sort of format we're proposing here.
That pertains to item 3 on the left, right? Can you scroll up what is above there?
Mm-hmm. So this is the supplemental requirements.
Yeah. So what was there? So these are people. So these are parents, foster care, guardians, etc. That can watch it. And what we wanted was that the vendor provides a dictionary that the physician can choose from. That's really what it says, if I recall that correctly.
We want discrete data. We don't want just, you know,
yeah,
whatever, right? So they
wanted a pick list.
But that's not that's too prescriptive if you tell a programmer that. We want the user to choose from a vendor provided a list of
terminology for non-clinician users, access, whatever it was,
for non-clinician, what was it, authorized non-clinician viewers. Provided terminology of authorized non-clinician viewers. Lovely.
Okay. So here I just went ahead and kind of redlined this. I guess the HITACH was a little bit confused by this bullet, allow EHR to grant user access level to tag. So I kind of edited it, but we can change this however you think is more correct or more accurate.
Any thoughts there? I thought it was pretty clear. I think what was unclear there, that this was a way for a user to identify items that he or she wanted protected.
Just say exactly that, then there's no confusion. Let's not try to legal.
Yeah, don't provide the solution. When we start talking about tagging, we're actually identifying a solution. The way you said it is actually better. I agree.
Sorry, could you repeat that, Kristen?
No, I have no recollection of what I just said.
Of course not. There's no brain cells left.
We are recording, so we can always go back and get it perfectly.
Can't we scroll back on the screen? Because I maxed this up. Hold on, I got to click the right button.
I think I used the word identify, right?
Shoot.
All right. We can check the transcript later.
Yeah.
Yeah, check the transcripts. We'll never don't waste brain cells. We only got 5 left.
Yeah. Okay. That's the transcript won't let me scroll back, so I can't even get it.
Okay, no problem. We'll go back to there.
All right.
Okay, let's go to the next one. Okay, so here also the high tech wanted clarification on this, but there is a comment bubble that our Beth put here. If everyone's happy with that, or if we want to change it.
I think the suggestion there on the right is actually
it's pretty good.
More easily parsed. Yeah,
I like that. It's well written. I agree. That's a good edit.
Accept changes. Check.
Yeah.
That's when actually Microsoft's better than Google Docs for accepting changes. The only time.
Although, you know, you can set Google Docs so that you make suggestions. You can accept them too.
Yep. Done that too. Except, right.
So I think for here, Sue, I think this was also a comment from you on a previous version of this. Is there anything, does this sentence look okay, or is there anything else you want added to this section?
No, that looks good. It was just my let's not recreate the IIS debacle of multiple different standards in our PDMP. And have the same trouble supporting on an ongoing, everybody's changing everything differently whenever they want to.
Right.
So you like it as it is right now, or do we need to edit it?
No, I think it's fine.
Then we'll resolve it. Okay. Thank you.
Perfect. So another feedback from the high tech was, so Chris, I think I saw in an email that you already responded to their question on whether hiding data is a safety issue with data segmentation. And
I was a little bit flippant there. I said last time I looked at the Constitution, I didn't see that access to all data was a constitutional guaranteed right for physicians. I think there's a decision that needs to be made by patients that weighs between the desire to have privacy and the desire to disclose information to providers in order to get treatment. And I think that's not for a physician to have. That would be too paternalistic, in my opinion. And I think it's perfectly legal for a physician to ask, is there anything else you need to tell me that you haven't told you? Nothing stops a physician from doing so. So I think there's no additional need for any additional work there.
Okay. So then I guess the last
item...
So
hang on, one question. So,
sure.
I'm pushing back because that's what I do. What do you do if the patient's unconscious?
That is a great question. And we could now go down that rabbit hole that we say have a break the glass functionality so the physician can see everything if a patient is unconscious. However, I think it's reasonable to assume that when a patient decides that he or she does not want to be transfused, for example, to give you a more concrete example that happens all the time, that when that patient becomes unconscious, that decision is presumed to be maintained and that the patient doesn't get transfused. And I think the same thing should be true for decisions that have been made on data segregation.
I'm totally cool with it. I just want it to be out there, right? And so the question is, because somebody's going to ask it, right?
Yeah.
So do we leave it implied or do we state it implicitly?
I think when the decision is made, we should, once the patient has decided on data segregation, this data segregation should be maintained even if the patient is no longer able to consent or deny consent or whatever. But that is a philosophical and highly personal decision.
It's actually technically also a legal decision, though. I mean, that is how the laws describe consent and patient rights of access. That is one thing, but consent and disclosures, that is in fact how the law defines it. So I don't think it's just philosophical.
So would you then say that it doesn't need to be here because it's already accepted as the law?
I think we should just put a sentence in there that says, patients' decisions on data segregation should be maintained even after the patient is no longer able to provide consent. You know, decisions made on segregation should be maintained even if the patient is further consent.
We want to just basically point out that DS4P's data segregation complies with already the legal precedent for patient consent and whatever exists.
Then we ask ONC to get a lawyer to help us formulate that properly.
I can do that. We can talk to Catherine.
Perfect. Love that.
Yeah. But just a comment though. So the notion that the DS4P protects patients' privacy, I don't think is 100% accurate, because if you still transmit that information, then you're dependent upon the entity that is holding that to maintain that confidentiality. So the standard itself does not. And that was one of the things with the article that was sent around. I think it was a great article, but I think also there's this notion that even if it was implemented 100% correctly, this DS4P, it doesn't ensure privacy nor confidentiality. It's just an aid to get us closer toward that. And then
that's right.
Lastly, I was going to ask, does the DS4P have a break the glass regards to describing the permissions or the accessibility of the data? I don't remember that because I didn't dig deep enough, unfortunately. Sorry.
The standard has markings for data elements that have to be interpreted by the system according to whatever the local rules are. So the data may say do not disclose or sensitive information or sensitive condition, and then it's up to the system to recognize what that means.
And not transmit it.
Well, if non-disclosure is one of the markings, yes.
Yeah, exactly. But Stephen, your point is well taken. If it gets transmitted, then the only way that it doesn't get disclosed is the receiving entity sticks to the same rules that the original entity does and applies the same ethical and privacy consideration, right? And I don't want to imply that this protects data 100%. It just provides a framework on how people that are dealing with that data should be handling it in order to abide by the patient wishes in regards to privacy.
Yeah, and I don't think that changes what we've done or what we should recommend or anything at all. I just wanted to be clear, because I think, I don't know that this group, but others may assume that. So thanks.
Yeah, I think that's a great clarification. And maybe if you want to, write a sentence that we can squeeze in there, that'd be fine. But, only if you feel like it.
Okay, so the last item is basically the privacy resources and literature to endorse. I think a few of you had a chance to look at the paper that Dr. Galvin sent over, but we can do that offline if people want to have longer time to read her paper and the literature before endorsing it here.
Carolyn, I think, already volunteered to find the most relevant resources. I'm gonna try to look at it again over the weekend too. But I thought it was a good.
I didn't read all the resources, but let's pull out the ones that we think have the biggest impact, and I trust you guys.
Okay, then Carolyn.
Why don't I look at doing that tonight and send out an email that lists, you know, a small number that I think are appropriate and relevant, and you all can weigh in as your time permits.
Thank you.
2 or 3 days.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Terrific.
That'd be wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Thanks.
Okay, well, I think that's it for the transmittal letter then. Other than the changes that we still need to make after today, I think that's it, unless there's anything else the task force wants to discuss.
I have nothing else, but I'm happy to entertain anything that anyone else would like to bring.
Well, you know, there's one thing that I would like. I've said that multiple times, and Carolyn and I had a discussion at some point off the meeting about that there is so much more need in form of defining functionalities for pediatric EHRs. One topic that is near and dear to Carolyn and my heart, for example, is the requirements needed to follow up of children who are long-term survivors of oncology diseases. But the most important thing that I want somewhere in the letter that I would is the fact that this is a start, and this is in my eyes a very good start. But it will not get us the perfect pediatric EHR, and we should really emphasize this, that this is a way of improving the EHR functionality for children, and that it is a wonderful first step that we think will have a major impact, but it's not the end of the journey.
Sure, we can write a few sentences, and then you can review and see if it captures.
We can all spend an infinite number of hours together continuing this work. Is that what you're suggesting?
well, Sue, we like you so much. We want to conscript you to this working group until 2047.
I hate to sound like be a downer, but to add to sort of what Chris was saying there, I think it's pretty clear that a vendor could meet all of these features and still not be very friendly to a standard pediatric practice flow. And the next part, though, that what happens after this? You can be friendly to a pediatric flow and not have these features, and you're not really accomplishing very much. So it's that next part, the part that comes next, which is really starting to connect some of these dots and to really get to the core of also making clear when we talk about a pediatric EHR, you're really talking about 4 or 5 different things. You've got your general peds EHR and you've got your in-hospital EHR at the very least. Those are 2 very different functions, and with it in the hospital side, you could split that into 5 pieces. And so I'm just agreeing wholly, this is just the start, but anyone who thinks that putting a checkbox on these items suddenly makes you pediatric friendly is disingenuous at best. And I would like to keep going. I think that we can go a lot farther to make this technology actually improve child health than what we've got so far.
I want to phrase it a little bit more positively.
Oh, absolutely. I've got 100%. I totally agree.
Well, and let me just say, I would be happy to do whatever kind of administrative stuff is needed with ONC or through ONC to facilitate any further ongoing efforts or contribute you know, in any way that I can as a resource for patient advocacy and survivor groups and whatever else. I certainly don't wish to conscript you all, and I can't anyway. And I realize that you have many, many important other things to be doing, like taking care of patients, but I'm here to serve. So if that's something that's of interest to the group, I'm behind it wholeheartedly. Tell me how I can help you.
That matters a lot. As a co-chair of the high tech, that's great support. I appreciate that, Carolyn. I'm sure everybody else does too.
Absolutely. And when, you know, it, from my perspective, when the AAP says jump, we'll say how high. And so, because Carolyn, you, PCC and ONC could coordinate all day long, but it really needs to be from the AAP's perspective. And I think that three-way combination of the ONC, the AAP, and the vendors is the way to go.
Yep. Well, absolutely. I mean, even if it's entirely separate meetings and efforts from the ONC structure, you know, I'm happy to do whatever I can to help it down the road.
I'm just not used to an offer like that. that's great. Thank you.
It's like if you want to get stuff done, ask a patient, because, you know, we're the ones that have so much to gain from all of this. And people who have children with these cancers now and are dealing with it certainly don't have the time on their plate or the resources. So.
Right.
Well, thank you on behalf of the greater patient population, of which we are all recipients as well.
Yep.
Okay. So what I have as action items is for me to go through the paper that Dr. Galvin sent and pull out some resources and suggest those to you all by email. Is there anything else that anyone or ONC has for me to do in the next immediate time? And ONC, what are you thinking about in terms of a time frame for Chris and I to sign off on the transmittal letter?
Well, Cassandra, feel free to jump in, but I think our deadline is next Wednesday, the 8th, correct?
Yeah, it's close of business on the 8th. That's when we're looking to send all the transmittal letters out, so the full high tech will have time to 2 days to review those before the 13th meeting. So this task force, technically, if you guys could get it done, you know, by Monday and you know, get acknowledgement from the broader task force that, you know, the recommendations are approved as is, and then they could come to us by close of business on the 8th.
Okay.
And Stephanie, when you write some sentences about the this is just a start thing, I'd be happy to edit them if you just send them my direction.
Sure, will do. I'll email them straight to you.
Thank you so much.
And Steph, I can help with getting a getting in touch with Catherine and seeing if we can get a sentence about consistency with what is allowed, what how consent already works in law.
Perfect.
Yes, thank you.
One last thing: are we done now, or are we still meeting Monday to review the last piece of this one more time?
Chris and Carolyn, I think that's your preference. We could either do this all through email and just send this around on Google Docs, or we can have another meeting if you think it's necessary.
One thing that I see, but I'm going to defer to Carolyn on this, but one thing that I see is that we have had, at least on this line, very little dissent and a great deal of consensus, and I think it has to do that we have people on the line that really have an interest in making care better for children. So my suggestion is that we probably can do it offline, but I'll let Carolyn be the deciding voice there.
I think that would be outstanding, you know, as a way to best accommodate everyone's schedules and be respectful of people's time.
So can we open the line for public comment?
If you would like to make a public comment, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys.
Operator, do we have anybody in the queue?
No public comments at this time.
Thank you. Carolyn?
I am so grateful for everyone's efforts to do some good work around the care continuum and pediatric EHR. Again, let me express my thanks and wish you all the best as we go forward to create a better record and greater functionality for clinicians and patients both.
And Carolyn and Chris, do you want to do a quick debrief, or are you guys?
I'm good, Carolyn.
I'm good.
You guys are good? Okay. So we could just cancel a debrief after this then.
Perfect.
Awesome. You just gave me an hour back in my life. Thank you, everybody. It's been such a pleasure working with you.
Yes, thank you. This has been
lovely
rewarding.
To have you all on this.
Thanks, Susan.
Thanks,
everyone.
Bye, guys.
Thank you, everybody.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Good week.
Good night. Bye.
Good night.
Bye. Bye.